You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Podcast is daydreaming about Baker Mayfield's mustache.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by SiriusXM. My name is Dan Hansis. I'm in a room that's just overflowing with heroes, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys and girls?
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, my God. What's up?
Super size show. Colleen's back.
Very rich here.
Okay. That's all I ever hear about on Twitter. The history must be very rich there, huh?
Colleen, you just got back from a whirlwind tour across the NFL landscape.
Yeah.
And I was following your Twitter and your social media. Just great work, as always.
Thanks.
Moving the needle of your brand. But you pointed out that a lot of ATN listeners we'll give you little shout-outs that are in the code of our show.
Yes. It's one of my favorite things ever. Whenever I'm out in the field, whether it's for Thursday night or it happened a bunch at the Hall of Fame at training camps, I'll hear, Connie Fox, or who's John Gonzalez? Or like any number
of
things.
It's like our version of like Baba Booey. It's like our code.
What would you say the demographic of these shout-outs are? What are they? What type of person are they coming from? Demographic range wise,
it's usually white males,
18 to 34.
Yes.
Just wondering.
But I love them. Right. It's like I text you ever get it's like our secret handshake.
You ever get strange looks from people you're with when they yell like, "Hey, Tiny Box!"
Yeah,
like,
I get like, Tiny Box a lot too.
We need to like get an HR representative. Do you need help?
So Tiny fun. Box makes me laugh the most though.
That wouldn't be the weirdest thing that's happened to you on Inside Training Camp though. So
and let
yeah, that's true.
And yeah, that is fact. Very true. And let it be known that even though it seems to be an 18 to 34 white male demographic, one of the things we're proud of, we're all over the spectrum. You know, women, men, black, white, Latino, we're all over the place. We are a rainbow podcast, Greg, and you're proud of it. I know you are.
Well, how do you mean we?
What do you mean?
I mean, we the show, I think.
Our show.
Collectively, all of us
we
part
have,
of the show.
All across the world, we have listeners. All across this country.
Yeah, internationally.
Unless you have individually, you have issues with that. As a,
no, I thought you meant like the four.
Got real weird, real quick.
I thought you meant the four hosts of the show. And then I.
No. Thank you, Greg.
I didn't know anyone had been to 23andMe lately.
I love all the listeners.
Oh, now we're fully covered. Thank you, Colleen. Well, welcome back, Connie. It's been a minute, and you picked a great show to come back because a full house and, you know, big news, and we're going to get to it in a little bit around Jadeveon Clowney and John McClain over at the Houston Chronicle reporting that he wouldn't be surprised if a trade goes down involving Clowney imminently, perhaps. Well, let's throw out some juicy trade scenarios ahead of the regular season and let it be known that this isn't July anymore. This isn't, this isn't our June 14th show. There's none of this fancy boy stuff where we're whimsical and just throwing out, oh, yeah, Brett Favre returns to football, and then Bart Starr is his best friend, but they both go to the Giants and all this stuff. No, this is going to be real trades.
Shots fired.
real.
Yeah, I think so.
No, don't read into it. There's too much reading into things right now. It's going to be real trades that could affect teams in a positive way in 2019.
This exercise ruined my entire morning.
Tell us why.
I sat and stressed out about this and talked myself in and out of every trade. So I think I'm going to come up with some strong cases.
I mean, just as a... like
it's really hard to be you, Colin.
Right, as a basis of comparison...
something as simple as this.
As a way to compare, like, what was your morning yesterday like? Like, walk us through 9 to 11:30 yesterday.
Yesterday...
What you can share with us.
I worked out yesterday. Okay. Huh. I made some coffee. I just chilled. Okay. It was a very it was a nice morning.
Colleen used to be Ken Griffey Jr.
In what way?
Proud of the fact that she had never worked out a day in her life.
I know.
And now all of a sudden she's working out.
The grind is real now.
I know. It's happening. It has to. Though I need to get back to traveling on the road because otherwise when I'm at home, I just eat. I just eat all day long and gain lots.
The guys can't say it, Colleen, but your arms are looking great. It's working.
Thanks.
It's working. You guys don't comment on her. Whatsoever. Don't even look at her. Don't even look at her. But, Colleen, your arms are looking good.
Huh. Thanks.
You know what we should do? Just
he's trying to match Gonzo.
We should put on like blinders. You know, like the horse blinders.
Yeah.
Be totally covered. Show will go on forever.
Great.
All right. Good. Very weird show so far. Mm-hmm. All right. So juicy trade scenarios coming up. Realistic ones that would, if it happened, if it came across on TA. Wow. That makes sense.
Build a trade. That's what you've named it, right?
Sure.
Like Build a Bear, except for Clowney.
Ooh,
let me write
that
down. Build a trade, and I will take credit for it. Thank you, Wes. And then we'll hit a little Hard Knocks recap. But before that, there's news. So let us get to that, Erica Tamposi. Here's what we're hearing presented by SiriusXM.
Hey, guys. It's Colleen.
No.
I'm finally doing this.
What is
thing.
This?
So
no.
I'm pumped to meet all of you and give all these special shout outs.
You know, I
so
did this.
Hit me up. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
That was in Wes's backyard.
What is that?
Cameo.
You're on Cameo.
I have to get off Cameo because I keep like forgetting about it and then everything keeps expiring. Mm. So I'm not really a great fit for
what
Cameo.
What is Cameo for people that aren't aware of it?
I would be one of those people.
What?
I have no idea what Cameo is.
It's like a company where people pay to get a personal message from you.
Right, so I feel a little dirty about it, too.
It's a little creepy.
I really like it.
How much
but
do
also
they pay?
How much do you charge in?
It's like $15.
Right, I responded to that. I was like, I'll do it if I can charge $1,000.
Yeah.
I'd do it for 30.
I don't know. 15, 30, I might do a couple of those and just see what happens.
What's funny is a lot of people just like mess with their friends about it. So they're like, hey, give this message and just like talk about whoever. And then it's kind of like a fun basket.
Colleen, does
doing
it get
things?
Direct deposited? Like when if it's $15,
no.
Does it go straight into the checking?
I don't even know how to cash out. And then Cameo gets a cut too. So I don't really like that I have to like charge for it. I feel like that's weird.
It's like the and Jetsons for trash talking.
You're a real capitalist.
Yep.
Connie.
Sure am.
All right, let's get to it. More uncertainty around the Indianapolis Colts and their superstar quarterback. Tuesday evening, Colts general manager Chris Ballard told reporters on a conference
What's
call.
What's your favorite type of frog?
He didn't say that. But he did say that the medical staff and training staff believe that Luck's calf strain has become something more. Let's hear a little bit of Ballard during the conference call with reporters last night.
He's been dealing with a calf injury. And... you know, all in March through camp, he was dealing with a calf, and in the little area below his calf, which Andrew kind of referred to as a lower leg, where he was feeling some pain, kind of almost in the ankle area. The injury wasn't getting better, and he hadn't been practicing. So in the course of dealing with this calf injury, it appears that now we've got an ankle issue.
All right, and on the same day, and this happens with the Colts. Not many franchises this type of stuff happens, but Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, he went on a separate he went on a radio show, SiriusXM, and he shared his thoughts and details on Andrew Luck's situation.
I really feel, you know, very confident that he's going to, you know, find his way through this thing. I think, you know, after Durant thing and everything, everyone's erring on the side of caution, but quite frankly, this is not even in the Achilles tendon.
So Irsay went on to say that he couldn't be more excited about the season, Luck, and views it as a tweak. But at the same time, Greg, here we are now 3 weeks out from the regular season. You're not going to see him during the preseason, and now it becomes a very real chance that it is indeed Jake Brissett starting week one for the Colts. Not good.
Ooh, slice me off a piece of that Jake Brissett.
Thank you, Ricky.
Hopefully them admitting their mistake and properly treating the injury solves it, and it's just an ankle sprain, that, and he's back, whether it's week one, week three, whatever. It's a pretty big deal, I think, for the general manager to say which is how I read into what they said. We completely mismanaged his situation. We misdiagnosed it. We didn't even check, you know, that it could be an ankle problem too. And here we are 3.5 months later from something that they said at the time was going to be a 1 week injury. And maybe that all solves it. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? I think they'd be fine with Jacoby Brissett, though, for a couple weeks. If that's all it is, that they feel like they need to be safe with Andrew Luck, like, get him back 100% before you put him on the field.
I just feel like any time now I hear anything with Andrew Luck, I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe after everything that happened with his shoulder. And
Ballard has a really good track record of being pretty forthright. And the reason I totally believe him here is because you didn't have to read between the lines to see right. That they were saying, like, we botched this. And you don't hear teams really admit that too often, that basically it's all our fault.
He didn't admit it, though.
He did. I mean, that saying that they literally never even checked for this other injury that he's apparently had now for multiple months, I mean, that's saying they misdiagnosed it. He admitted that.
I appreciate all the listeners who sent me P-scale tweets, especially the Ralph Wiggum gif, where it's just P slowly spreading across his face.
So is it fair to now say, Wes, that we could sound the siren, the Andrew Luck alarm siren is off, and you're concerned about the superstar quarterback?
I'm taking a big old L on this one, and to quote a iconic movie character from the 1990s.
That siren is
I think
really
we understand right. That there's some sort of an alert in the air, Erica.
New shit come to light,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, no, it's yes, that is absolutely true.
Oh, my God.
I also think it's striking.
Oh, my God.
Ricky.
From the beginning, my stance on this was informed by the notion that injuries in August are treated so much differently than injuries in October. That this guy had 3.5 weeks to get ready for the regular season, and if this happened in the regular season, he'd be playing through it and might be slightly compromised. But we get so alarmist in August as opposed to October or November.
That's what they say, though. Like, I don't believe that he would have been playing through it if it's been bothering him for 3.5 months.
I can't think of, like, having been to the combine where Andrew Luck was, like, down on the field throwing. He was one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen at quarterback. I mean, like, Cam Newton plus type gigantic dude. But it just goes to show that what's happening inside these massive frames is totally different. I mean, he's dealt with more than you ever would have expected over the past 3 years.
And having Jacoby Brissett isn't a bad thing for them, because when you think back to when we saw him last, he was playing behind that awful offensive line.
And no running game.
Yeah, they've changed a lot of pieces around him, so he should be even better if he does have to play.
No, I think this is like playing like he could get the Nick Foles treatment, where you play 2 to 3 games under Frank Reich in a nice situation and you put up some nice numbers, and Jacoby Brissett's a free agent next year, and this 2 to 3 game period, if that happened, could get him paid. I mean, it's going to be so influential to whatever his value is going to be next year.
We are also working under a hazy timeline here, the assumption that, oh, it'll be fine in 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, we have no
we
idea.
We thought that 2 to 3 weeks ago, and 2 to 3 weeks before that, and 2 to 3 weeks before that. It's a frightening injury.
It's worth noting that Ballard told Perez Taylor, former Chiefs beat writer, that Brissett is much improved over where he was 2 years ago, outside of everything surrounding him, that has revamped his mechanics, and he's played so much more confidently. Mm. And he sees the field better than he did when we last saw him.
All right. Whose computer's on?
Mine.
Uh-oh.
I'm just taking L's all over the place.
Ooh, you're in trouble.
Let's move on. But stay in the AFC South and talk about, ooh, this is saucy. John McClain, as I said earlier, he's been there forever. Baylor grad.
He's been there since the Love You Blue years.
Love You Blue years. Houston Chronicle mainstay John McClain. And a very entertaining Twitter account, but also a guy that's plugged in, been there forever. And he put out a tweet yesterday that he would be surprised if Jadeveon Clowney, the star linebacker, was not traded by the Texans. This is Clowney's – he's on the franchise tag, and the idea of the Texans giving him a long-term deal – he's been a very good player for them, but also has had injury issues, so Houston has hesitated in that realm. And now the idea that he could be moved, Colleen, before the start of... Now what's going on, Wes?
His phone's ringing.
It's on vibrate. I caught it on one ring. Leave me alone.
Need to take a breather.
I'm also in Wes's personal space here, too, like, because I have...
inching her.
I have my hard notes on the notepad.
We have five people here today. If you just want to like leave, that's...
I'm having more fun than I've had in a long time, Greg.
Okay.
So anyway, so Clowney, the idea that he could be traded, Colleen... perhaps even before week one. That is a pretty wild thought. Do you think it's even possible? Or is this just chatter?
This would be such a hard trade to pull off just because of the timing right now in the league year and the timing because of his whole deal, because they passed that July 15th deadline. Any team that gets him is essentially getting him for a one-year rental because they aren't able to do a long-term extension until the end of the season. And a lot of teams already have their guys in place. So I don't even know what kind of compensation you could get for him right now because he's obviously a former number one overall pick and he is so talented, but I think his kind of his clout and everything is diminished because of the way that the Texans have handled this and the fact that the Texans don't even have a GM right now.
Well, let me push back on that a little bit because there is this idea because you can't negotiate a long-term deal if you trade for him. It's not like when the Niners got Dee Ford from the Chiefs on the franchise tag and then gave him the big contract. It is different, but you still do you still have the window before free agency with him. And, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, you're good at these matters. You do get draft pick compensation if he ends up leaving and going to another team. So you could still get something out of it as long as you don't give up a
premium. If you're disciplined, it applies to your compensatory pick formula, and assuming Clowney plays like he did before, that would be a third-round pick. But then you have to be a franchise that's all in on that. That's discipline and not signing other free agents, because how the formula works is if you sign another big free agent or two, that wipes out losing Clowney. But you're right, a team could theoretically give up a third-round pick and get a third-round pick compensatory, and basically you got Clowney.
A third-round pick, though, for him?
Let me push back on your pushback.
Okay. Right?
Or a second-round pick.
You talk about this window. I believe that you are not even allowed to negotiate with him until March.
Right.
And if you're going to keep Jadeveon Clowney off the open market after he just took the risk of playing on the franchise tag, you're going to have to make him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history to keep him off the market.
Mm-hmm. What surprised me about the idea that it's surprising that he would not be shopped by the beginning of the season is that who and why? And like to me, the Texans, it's bad team management and they have no GM right now to let him go because they can gain back almost $1 million in salary cap credit from his salary every week that he doesn't play. And they have $110 million of salary cap room next offseason, and there is literally nothing to be gained by trading him to another AFC team, for instance, getting probably at the lowest max trade value kid right now. This is the worst time to trade Jadeveon Clowney.
I think trading for a draft pick doesn't make sense, assuming you can't get better than a second. But I don't know. I think there's a way to argue that actually
players.
I would pay a second-round pick.
What about a second with a pass rusher?
For a thing? Yeah, but if you're getting a player-for-player trade, why not? Like Trent, and we'll talk about potential trades later, but guys like Trent Williams is everyone's guessing as a
potential. Yeah, but here's what's weird about
that.
If that
ever happened, then that makes some sense. But you're right, because O'Brien took over as the GM. Everyone's saying they don't have a GM. I mean, Bill O'Brien has been the most powerful guy in that organization for years. He's running the team. Bill Belichick runs his team. Pete Carroll runs his team. Yes, they have a personnel department, but Bill O'Brien, if nothing else, should be easier for him to make a trade than if he had a GM.
But also, Clowney gets the last word in all of this. If he is supposed to be traded to a team that he doesn't want to go to, he doesn't have to go because he has to sign his tender first before he can be traded.
Well, he wants to play. I don't think anyone, including Clowney's camp, has made any overtures that he'd skip any work at all. The idea is that he wants to play football.
Right.
Does he want to play for Miami?
Yeah, probably. To make $16 million.
But does this feel like Bill O'Brien, the coach, battling with Bill O'Brien, the trying to learn how to be a GM at the same time? Because to me, it feels like the coach has been – Bill O'Brien has sounded a little annoyed with Clowney for a long period of time. And you understand why. But trying to play the hat of the front office, you've got to take the coaching staff sometimes and say – It's not smart to do this. There's another way around this. And who's giving him the pushback?
He appears to be in over his head.
I think you're right that he probably doesn't see Clowney as a guy that they're going to sign long term. That's been made clear. They have told Jadeveon Clowney in so many words this offseason, we don't believe in you as a long term part of our team, or else they would have signed him to a contract. Like, they haven't given – there's been no negotiations. They already are at that point. So the thing I don't get is, why is this coming up so late, like Colleen said? Like, O'Brien took over for Gain in early June. So even that was a month and a half before this deadline. The timing of it is very strange to me.
The one thing on Trent Williams, John McClain also reported that the Texans are not interested in Trent Williams.
Oh, really?
That he would not – that it'd be just like going back to Dwayne Brown, an over 30 tackle with some injury issues who wants a huge contract.
I don't know if I buy any sources there. Although the thing where this is fun is, you know, I did ask around for the people that know better than us, the real insiders, and there seems to be something there that they think this thing is going to happen.
That the Texans want it to happen. There has to be a
I don't know about that, but they think that the reason this is popping up now is because it seems like the Texans and people believe this is going to happen.
I think if the Texans do it, want to do it,
it doesn't make sense. Somebody will do business.
I agree.
You just have to find one person to do it, but it's not a wide spectrum of teams that are going to be chasing after
this. And it should be said before we move on, because we got to move on, that our own Ian Rappaport reported somewhat recently that the belief is that Clowney will report to the Texans after the third preseason game, even though O'Brien himself is quoted as saying he has no idea when Clowney will report to camp. So we're not hearing any, you know, hardball talk about him sitting out a season, pulling a Lev Bell or a Zeke Elliott or a Melvin Gordon at this point. All right, let's move on. The New York Giants got bad news, but bad news that it was expected. Golden Tate lost the appeal of his four-game suspension. Tate, you may remember, was banned after taking a fertility substance that is not you're not allowed to take it. Can't do it. And he tried to report himself.
Not as an NFL player.
He tried to report himself ahead of it, tried to get ahead of it, but it didn't matter. So you also have, again, Sterling Shepard with a broken thumb on
back.
The shelf.
He's been back. He's been practicing weirdly with like a splint on his thumb.
That seems weird.
Yikes.
But Evan Engram's the only healthy guy in that receiving corps that you could really count on right now. That week one, they're playing the Cowboys in week one, right? This Zeke Elliott thing is getting weirder and weirder in terms of whether he'll be there for week one. That game could have a different feel to it if some of this stuff doesn't shake out. That's
Troy and Joe, by the way. We don't even have to look at the – maybe they already made the assignment, but that's a Troy.
Speaking of which, Mark, I read today, I don't know if you saw this, week one, Tony Romo.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
The Brownies!
I have to see what the other lineup is out there, but it kind of threw me that any game involving the Titans would have gotten week one Romo. I don't care if they're playing –
well, CBS has
whoever
the double.
Is,
I think, you know, CBS has the Giants Cowboys late, so they're picking their 1 o'clock game. That's kind of their spot to be the.
I welcome it,
but it just, you know, please,
Mark,
handle your business,
embrace it.
America's
the reason why they picked it is because the Browns are a marquee team that people want to watch.
I know that
put the mark in marquee.
You are enjoying every bit of this. I just need, as an Eagles fan, Colleen, you have to understand that, like, you're just there's a little bit of
your team is so fascinating. It's they're trying to make the Titans interesting.
Wow.
Week one.
What happens if you lose at home?
Don't.
To the
No, you can't let your mind go there.
I don't control anything.
Enjoy the ride,
I learned that a long time ago.
Well, you could also
never happen.
Into your quarterback's malarkey about now everyone's rooting against us. That story that was out there.
Oh, please.
Wait,
oh,
that's show me the lie on that one.
Oh, come on. Please.
That was my favorite.
Wait, his quote was because of the hype. The hype is real. Well, show me the lie there. There is.
It said that people now are rooting for them to fail.
Oh, my God. That's just
true.
Like the Patriots saying, nobody believes in us.
Wait. You feel that, Mark.
If I had a nickel for every NFL analyst who has made that point this offseason, I'd be a rich man.
It's the difference between being an NFL analyst and finding
I think
that it could be more
let me ask you a question.
And people rooting against the
team. If they go 1-5, tell me that the brushback won't be totally
of course, but that's
fierce.
How it goes.
And everybody's going to point to the hype when they go 1-5.
I think fans and media love the Browns, and no team's gotten more love.
Exactly.
But I think maybe Baker, and I didn't read the entire
thing. There's two sides.
If he's talking about within the league, I think that's true. I think other teams are like, give me a break on the Browns. Like, here's their problems. This is a team that's won 7 games next year, and they don't like the hype. I buy that.
Let's jump into the fish tank. Let's jump in.
Okay.
Come on, Rick. Always got to be ready for the fish tank. This is not good. This is not good. Kenyon Drake, one of the most important players for the Dolphins. He's in a boot, and he's got a foot injury. And Dolphins coach Brian Flores acknowledged that Drake's injury, it's going to take a, quote, while to heal. They hope he'll be ready for week one. But as of today, Wednesday, he's walking around in that boot. And we again, now we're getting close. Three weeks away. When your starting running back is in a boot, Mark, that's a problem.
I like Kalen Ballage, the backup, and I don't even know if you'd call him a backup. I mean, there's a bit of a timeshare, but if you look at, and it's just one preseason game, Drake dominated the first team reps. I'd want to see the second, third, and fourth before we jump into that whole conversation, but you've got two good running backs. Drake, I think, is someone that's just been, most people, probably if you had him on fantasy, you're like, why was he not used a lot more under Adam Gase, or was he used in confusing ways? This only adds to the confusion.
Listen, if it wasn't for Drake, the Miami miracle would have never happened. The miracle in Miami would be not even in the books.
I thought he might be a trade candidate, if not this month, then during the season, because he's in the last year of his contract and just feels like...
How old is he?
I think teams would be interested.
Like 25 or 26 at most.
Guy you want to build around? Well, they don't seem to like him as much as other people.
He's coming off a career year, though.
I don't think we know what the new coaching staff thinks entirely, but Gase used him in a very weird way, I thought.
That's fair. Let's stay in the tank. Cameron Wolf, he's a reporter for ESPN.
Yeah.
He report. You familiar?
Wolf Nation.
Any relation?
No, unfortunately.
You wolves stick together.
Yeah, we do.
Wolf Pack. Yeah, Wolf Pack would have been better than Wolf Nation. Just like,
hey, Wolf's mate for life.
That's kind of just my family, the Wolf Pack. But
Josh Rosen has been getting, quote, true starter burn this week. Greg, you've covered the league for many, many years. Now, please illuminate the audience. What does it mean to get true starter burn?
I think it's misleading because all he's doing is getting some reps with the first team, but less reps even than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, this hasn't been a situation where they've even given him a taste of it. They've treated him like a backup, like a true backup that doesn't even get a single snap with the first team all of camp. And now they give him like a little bit because this is the week to do it. It's the second preseason week. If there's any time he's going to get with the starters, this is it in the second preseason game. You start Fitzpatrick for, you know, a couple series. Rosen gets his chance with the starters. And after that, it's all Fitzpatrick. They've given him no run. Even in these practices, it's supposedly mostly Fitzpatrick. I don't think they have any interest in starting Josh Rosen week one.
But how about
based
this,
on
Greg?
What they've shown.
How about we separate the football analysis of the Dolphins with just the parlance of the NFL?
Right.
Please give us
breakdown a breakdown.
What is true starter?
I'm not
burn?
Accepting that.
You're not accepting it as a phrase or as
that it's true in this case.
Okay.
It's no,
but
like three
what
series.
Is true starter burn?
Playing with the starters.
Is that all
right.
It is?
He can feel it.
Why? He's like legit
he can
starter
taste
reps.
It. And now it's building
because
a fire
like
within
the,
him.
I like the turn of phrase, true starter burn, but well, why not just getting more reps
it's
with
like
the starter?
Legit reps in key situations.
In this parlance,
first team reps.
It's interchangeable with the word run. He's getting some run with the starters.
He's okay. Trying to be the straw that stirs the offense's drink.
Ooh. Were you the one that was against that?
You're against I hate it. But of course, I just said it.
Where is it? Do you keep hearing it on our network?
I hear it on every network.
Ours is guilty
radio.
Of it.
Let's send it off into space. I think Erica can do that. We have the power as a podcast that phrase will no longer be said by a decree from Colleen Wolf.
Okay. Goodbye.
I'm not going to use the phrase, but as Dan knows, there's only one man who gets to use that, and it's Reggie Jackson, who created the phrase.
Yes.
In regards to the late Thurman
and then lived up to it.
He sure did. Three homers, 77
I'm
series.
Finally doing this thing.
Okay.
What was that, Connie? All right. So back to Yankee history it goes, where it must stay. One more item from the fish tank. Minka Fitzpatrick, the versatile defensive back of the Dolphins. Omar Kelly, reporter for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, sent out a tweet. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but Minka Fitzpatrick isn't playing well. And guess who responds? Got up in the replies. Minka's mom.
That's not a mom joke, guys.
It is actually his mom.
His mother.
Minka's mom, Mink and Melissa, replied to Omar, no, you would never want to do that, maybe. It's because he is not a strong safety and is being used to suit other people's skill set, not his own. But, you know, let's just keep ripping him because we know it breaks your heart to do that. I mean, is there anything better than a mom? Moms, for the win. And then Minka comes back off the practice field, and he gets asked about it, and he kind of agrees with his mom. It is what it is, he told the Miami Herald. She's being honest and saying how she feels. There's nothing wrong with it. I wish she would have addressed me first and talked to me first before it happens. But it is what it is. She feels very strongly. He added, she's not wrong. Coach has asked me to do something right now. I got to do what they asked me to do. If we have to have some discussions in the future, we'll have those discussions. Wes, what exactly is the issue with Fitzpatrick? Are they not giving him the opportunity to be his true best self?
There's no bad guys here. They have many injuries at strong safety, and they have a guy they want to watch at free safety, Bobby McCain. So they're having Minka. I mean, Flores comes from Belichick. You've got to play multiple positions. It's important to have versatility. It's important to have emergent break case in case of emergency players. They're seeing if Minka Fitzpatrick can play in the box. And his opinion is, I'm 205 pounds, not 220. Mm-hmm. I'm not best suited for the box, but I'm doing this because my coach has asked me to, and it's best for the team. His mom has a little bit different take on that.
This is where, like, you don't need to overreact to what they're doing in the second week of training camp practice. They're messing around. But it did get me thinking, along with Jonathan Abrams, the Raiders safety, who mentioned his mom is younger than Tom Brady. As parents are a little more social media savvy, you know, that they're our age and stuff, whatever, it's just going to become, there's going to be more storylines like this. Like, well, mom's coming.
Can't wait.
Mom's coming at you. Because in the past, moms, they weren't on Twitter.
On the fringes.
Now they're on.
Yeah. Moms are different, but this story reminds me of Marcus Vick when he used to tweet about Vick.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
And Michael Vick would always be like, he would have to answer these questions. And I can't imagine what the conversations are like as soon as the
Andy Reid's head up his ass.
Yo, man, like, can you stop?
It does hit me, like, as an age indicator when I see mom's name Melissa, because growing up, I never knew any mom's name Melissa. It was just the girl's name of someone in your class or something.
Yeah. Right.
Like a third grade classmate. Now they're moms.
It is.
We've gotten a lot older.
Moms are always Diane.
There is a song from the early 70s called Sweet Melissa, which would lead you to believe that some people were named Melissa.
I'm not saying the name didn't exist, Wes. Just that there weren't, in my town, there weren't flush with moms named Melissa. It was much more archaic.
Now it's probably dying off. I feel like not a lot of Melissa.
Do you like the name Melissa?
I like it a lot, but it reminds me of like a younger person than a mom. But I guess moms are young. So you could be a mom at a very young age. So
I will say, as a
can we just clip that?
It's just like, I don't want to, you know, I respect them all.
I want the whole Melissa.
Nice to be a parent.
Put the blinders on. As an 80s baby, it is a little unusual now when you see like a 39-year-old Tiffany.
Right.
Yeah.
Tiffany would be a better example than Melissa.
You never thought you'd see a 39-year-old
Tiffany.
Melissa's
in that world. Tiffany is a great example. Right.
Melissa's down to the 486th most popular girl's name.
Where's Tiffany at? Let's check in with Tiffany. Because Tiffany was
down
a monster in the 80s.
I mean, I think a lot of that, too, later on, was after Saved by the Bell.
Of course. Where's Tiffany at? Because that was a monster in the 80s.
We have our own Tiffany Blackman on the network.
Tiffany, the songstress, might have had something to do with it.
Oh, it's getting buried. Not even in the top 1,000.
Whoa. Age.
Ouch.
Aged out.
I don't know if I trust those sites, but that's fine.
Finally, in the news, anything else, Mark, about the names?
No, just like, are they pulling those rankings from true updated census, or is it like just their own thing?
I believe it's the 2010 census.
Oh,
no, I have no
it's old.
Finally, in the news, some big behind-the-scenes NFL news. The NFL, in its efforts to get involved more and find different ways to promote social justice, has partnered with Roc Nation, the entertainment company founded by Jay-Z, and they've agreed to lead the league's endeavors in music and entertainment. As part of this long-term partnership, Roc Nation will advise on the selection of artists for NFL events like the Super Bowl, especially the Super Bowl, but other things as well, and also play a key role in the production and promotion of new music. Also, it ties Roc Nation's Inspire Change initiative with the NFL and its massive platform, which is a good thing. There's a lot to the story, and there was a meeting between Jay-Z and Roger Goodell that was coming to light right as we went upstairs to do the show. But from my perspective, as someone who's worked here for a while and covered a lot of the halftime shows, this is much bigger than the Super Bowl halftime show. But I will say the Super Bowl halftime show needed help. It kind of hit a low watermark in Atlanta with Maroon 5, where the NFL and Maroon 5 got just savaged to the point where they canceled the Super Bowl press conference because it had just become such a tough situation. So bringing in Jay-Z, first of all,
until he took that shirt off. He's been working out.
Oh, man.
That changed everything. But bringing in Jay-Z and his team, I'm sure that's going to freshen things up. And also something that, Colleen, I know you're a big fan of the hip-hop.
See, I'm so excited about that because I feel like we're going to get a new mix of music.
We might finally now see what the NFL and the halftime show has really held off on, aside from little guest stints here. And a cameo as Missy Elliott comes to mind, but there have been many. And maybe some actual hip-hop acts, which won't please everyone.
Doing this thing.
What was that?
Ricky.
I'm finally doing this thing.
But I think it's for the good because what happened to
you
Super Bowl 53.
You said cameo, and it was really funny. Oh,
it was not a good scene.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited about it because I thought for sure when we were in Atlanta last year for the Super Bowl, we would maybe see some good hip-hop acts. And that's, when you look at the Atlanta rap scene, it's vast. And we didn't get that last year. So
got like 30 seconds of Big Boy.
That's right. No, it was Big Boy this past year.
A little disappointing. Jay-Z was asked about Colin Kaepernick. Jay-Z famously put the NFL on blast on, like, in the last single that they from the Beyonce album that they released.
That only you liked.
I liked it. I think it was an underrated album.
Not the point, but I just thought it would be.
Yeah.
What was the line?
Basically that he didn't need – he turned down the NFL. We don't need him. We're in stadiums too. Whatever. Yeah. But he was asked, like, working with the NFL despite Colin Kaepernick not having a job, and he had a pretty good answer for that, just saying, like, this is kind of the next step. Like, Colin Kaepernick knew it was more than just himself, that it wasn't about Colin Kaepernick having a job. It was about trying to have a platform and make changes, and Jay-Z, with part of this deal, is saying that their company is going to do that. But that also reminded me is this is the season – where people basically have stopped considering that Colin Kaepernick could work again because it hasn't been a story at all. He's only 31 years old. He's out there, working out according to social media and all that. But this is kind of the season where no one's even brought up the idea of Colin Kaepernick joining a team anymore.
Very true. Wes, you just got a beep.
That was not me.
Whose was that?
That's your beeper.
I do not have a beeper.
That's what's happening.
Nor have I ever.
In the news. All right, Hard Knocks episode 2 rolled out on HBO Go. Good job, by the way. Shouts to HBO Go. It used to be new episode comes out and then it shows up the next morning on the HBO Go and you're like, twiddling your thumbs. Now they put it up in real time. Big change.
It changed everything because now I don't know, but I watch it with Simone because it's something, a show she enjoys, and it's very voyeuristic in what's happening inside this team. But in the old days, we used to have our podcast pretty early the next morning, and I remember having to wake up at the crack of dawn to try to watch these Hard Knocks episodes.
Hard Cops?
That's like a different
show
different.
You watch.
No, totally different show.
That's on Showtime.
I mean,
that's a show you watch late at night.
That was a fire drill. I'll take this in a second.
Hard Knocks. As expected, it was Antonio Brown. Heavy. I thought, we talked about on Monday's show how it was kind of an important episode for Hard Knocks because will they give you access? And we didn't really, Greg, get access. We got access to Antonio Brown, who talked to Hard Knocks cameras, showed his feet, said that his feet were circumcised, which is,
I was eating sushi while watching that, and I was like, this is disgusting. It was so gross.
Saying your feet have been circumcised is basically total weird guy behavior, but that's who Antonio Brown is. But what we didn't really get was any peek behind battle lines at the Raiders facility. There was a blink and you'll miss it shot of Gruden in a coaches only meeting, kind of speaking, kind of talking to himself, saying,
right.
Has anyone seen my friend AB? I wish he was here. But we don't get anything. But
there were a couple little moments like that. Another one where the coach, another assistant was talking to him and Gruden was grumbling, and you almost saw Gruden stop talking as if he knows he's mic'd. And moments where you could see some legit frustration. I thought they split the difference. They also made news. I mean, it is Hard Knocks. You're not expecting them to make news. And no one had any of that info from Antonio Brown. So
about the exact what happened the day.
Yeah, how he was treated, which was very detailed and rather gross.
Oh,
draining his feet,
right? Yeah. All of that, like the details of everything that sort of happened.
We didn't know that.
Now they punted essentially on the helmet talk for the most part.
Yes,
we got essentially just an NFL news update and some Liv Schreiber, VO, and they kind of teased more on that's coming next week. But the more I thought about it, and it was out there, like, people were taking it to the extreme, saying this was potentially leading to this episode. Hard Knocks jumped the shark moment if we don't get inside info on this. It's a extremely sensitive situation for the Raiders at this moment, and you see it in how Gruden handled the situation, because I think he kind of did handle this well in terms of crisis control, backing Brown, not making inflammatory comments to the media. I don't know if he does that in 2002. Remember, he took on Keyshawn Johnson. It's a different situation. But he kind of stayed out of the way, made sure not to throw any kerosene on the flames. And now Brown's back at camp as of yesterday, and Gruden was speaking positively that he was going to be there and he was going to be their Z receiver and everything was going to be great. Maybe that's what ends up happening and they survive this. But to Wes's point, because Wes, I thought you made a good point last week, and I touched on it in my write-up in NFL.com. You just wonder, this whole culture rebuild, where does Antonio Brown actually fit in? I know he makes the team better from a skill aspect, but I'm watching this, and he does all these talks to this young team trying to beat him up, build him up, and then you hear the narrator be like, Antonio Brown has decided to leave camp. It's like, well, is that the guy that you want in the building when you're trying to reestablish the Raiders' culture?
Well, if you look at their allocation of resources, money, what have you, since John Gruden took over, you'd be nonplussed if you were looking for some kind of pattern or plan or cohesion. I just don't – it's all over the map.
I would also say, we've followed bad teams that have talked about culture change, one coach, one GM after the other for decades plus, and – without good players, culture change is a lot of hot air, or it certainly can be in the NFL. And I think the change with Antonio Brown always would come on the field. And I think these Hard Knocks episodes, you're either riding with Gruden or you're not. He is the rage. I thought he was the raging star of last night's show. Whether you find him likable or you don't. So to me, I started to like him a little bit more. And I don't know if he has a whole lot more to say on Antonio Brown behind the scenes, to be honest, because I'm sure he's got stuff he's not letting us see, but his job is to prepare not just Antonio Brown and figure that out, but 80, 90 other guys and a bunch of other coaches. And how much time and energy can you spend on a guy who's not there? I thought Carr said it well. When a guy's not here for whatever reason, we just got to press on. Like, they don't deal with it the way that we do.
They knew what they were getting into with AB as well. I mean, I thought that from last night, Mark, you were so dead on with Gruden just being the star. Right from the jump, he pulls the bait and switch on everybody, and he's like, welcome to week two of the preseason. Everybody say hi. And then he's like, all right, now let's get down to business. I need better execution.
I want better etiquette. But more than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
It's like, oh my God. Okay, there. Jesus. Yeah, but I loved his interaction with the backup quarterbacks, too, where he's like, I have a little personality today, Glennon.
Right, that was
Glennon.
Well, here's the thing. I always wonder, like, is him being brutally hard on his quarterbacks, which is what he's sort of famous, is that helping anyone? Like, first of all, you can't train Mike Glennon or Nathan Peterman to be natural leaders. Like, they're not going to suddenly become like the guys that are like leading an entire team because Gruden says, can you talk right. a little more? And Gruden's kind of famous for this. I mean, it's so funny because he's a coach who goes through the emotions like a fan. Like when Glennon, like at first he loves Glennon.
I like Glennon now.
I love Glennon. And then after he throws the interception, what the hell are you doing? At one point,
he called him a blockhead.
He just yells out to nobody. And to me, this is John Gruden in a nutshell. And to nobody, he just goes, let's play some football here. It's like no one's listening to him. He's just like going crazy.
Peterman, when he was running out of lifespan.
Yeah. it is funny. I don't think anyone's safer than
Call
Derek
him a
Carr.
House mouse.
A house mouse. Like, I don't think anyone's safer than Derek Carr. This is a backup quarterback competition. There will be no clear winner. It will just be who survives and takes that spot. So that was a takeaway for me. Connie, I know
well,
you have notes.
Oh my God, I have so many. Max Crosby, who
I liked him.
Oh, I loved him. Then he got hurt, but his song was that T-Pain, I think.
Song, yeah.
Oh my God, that was great. Like if
he went over the room.
I wasn't sure how it was going to be at first, and then he came right in, and everyone's dancing, humming, singing along with him. So
Hunter Renfrow had maybe the worst Hard Knocks performance ever in 20 years with Lean on Me.
That's the closest I've ever seen to anyone singing exactly like me.
Put his ear against the piano.
That was tough.
Two of those a season is enough.
Yeah, what else?
Mayock desperately needs sunblock. He has to wear it. I'm worried about him. I think we need to reach out to him and maybe send him some sunblock because he was very burnt. And as somebody who was also very burnt this past weekend,
I can attest.
It's not a good feeling, so I would like him to wear
it. And you know, and while we're on the topic of Mayock, don't pull that uncle stuff where it's like
the Parliament.
Yeah, so because
that's his thing,
the kid did the T-Pain song, he has to then go, you know, accost the what's the kid's name again?
Oh, Max Crosby.
Yeah,
right?
Crosby at practice and be like, "You you're a rap fan, huh? Oh. You ever hear the Parliament Funkadelic? You ever hear George Clinton? You ever hear Bootsy Collins? How do you call yourself a rap fan? You know, calm down, Uncle." He's 23 years old, okay? He doesn't need to know about this music from 40 years ago to be a fan of hip-hop. Mm.
You know what?
Calm
agree.
Down, Uncle.
I agree. I agree.
Knock the table.
Yeah,
Gruden, I think Gruden naturally can work with, like, the younger generation. That's not Mayock's, strong. Not his role.
I love Mayock.
I'll meet you halfway on this one. I give extra points for anybody who appreciates what came before you. An actual appreciation for history.
I get that.
But I would never give someone, like, a hard time for not knowing.
Right.
Like, I don't expect Max Crosby to know who George Clinton is.
I mean, I feel like Mayock has been on a special personal mission to not show up on this show best he can, and he's probably not thrilled that scene came out. But I think the last couple seasons have been a study of, and I think Gruden's probably better than he was a year ago, trying to work with millennials, trying to work with younger people, because that's a challenge. That's not something Mayock was doing to this degree before. And Gruden, to me, I think is doing a pretty good job of it. Depending on player to player.
He still has the passion for the job. You could see it. It comes through.
It's amazing. I mean, the fact that NFL Films can just bring up that McVay footage from when he was starting out.
Like,
no other.
Piss boy?
There's no other sport. There's no other, exact example of that where it's just they can call up and they happen to have been there in 2000. You know, they were there in 2008 and they have it. And the most telling moment of the entire show was that quick moment they showed Gruden and McVay talking. And Gruden's just like, yeah, y'all were in the Super Bowl last year. We're a long way from the Super Bowl or something like that.
And
I was like, that was real. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's why he has a lot to say, I think, about Antonio Brown behind the scenes and a lot of things. But like that was like a quick moment where you got a real look into like, man, I wish we were the Rams.
It's year two. It's a 10-year job or 10-year contract, and he's got a lot of work to do. All right, that's what's going on with Hard Knocks. Before we get to our juicy trade scenarios, a reminder. Oh, by the way, check out the Hard Knocks podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hosted by Peter Schrager. It's an HBO Films joint, and Schragbaum is hosting it.
Our buddy.
Yeah, episode
our guest.
Every day after the podcast airs, I believe, every Wednesday.
Please don't outshine us.
Yeah.
As a big podcast fan in general, I like the idea of limited series podcasts. Like, I like one that you're in for 5 or 6 weeks and you're out.
Put me in TV. And put me out. Absolutely. Hard Knocks podcast. Oh, one more note. Fantasy Extravaganza. Oh, it's on. Get ready. Next Wednesday. And guess what? Might have reeled in a big fish.
Oh.
What up, Anthony? Happy belated birthday. Okay, yeah. Listen, really wish you the best of luck this
Anthony's
year
doing
in
it,
fantasy.
Huh?
I really hope you finish
Ricky.
In second place.
That's enough.
Like you always do.
Wait, personal messages to other people?
Because they they post on the site. That's it. I'm done. I'm off of it.
Anyway, Fantasy Extravaganza next Wednesday. I won't say anything else, but I'm just going to let you know. What do they call it? The line is in the water.
The reel.
The reel. I got the reel. The line's in the water.
True, I don't know anything about
it. There's a big piece of meat on the end of the line, chum. I just put it right on the hook.
Ew.
Ooh, and there's a big fish. Can I get him in the boat? I don't know. But the reel is out. Good boat talk.
He's so big, it might knock one of us out of the boat.
Let's hope not. All right, let's get to it. Juicy trade scenarios. Trade scenarios that make sense for NFL teams entering week one. I think it only makes sense to start with Jadeveon Clowney because, and maybe we have multiple Jadeveon Clowney trade options out there, but I have one. You guys know it. You guys know it because as soon as this dropped on text or on social yesterday, we were on a text chain, and I got excited about the idea of the Jets going after Clowney. So I want to put together a trade offer because, as we know, and it's one of those oft-repeated things, Wes, the Jets haven't had a true pass rusher since John Abraham in 2005. Well, guess what? That's true.
Poor Calvin Pace.
It's been a long – Calvin Pace had 10 sacks one year. He's a nice little player, but, you know, he's not a truly gifted pass rusher.
No, he wasn't.
And I just think – and everything we talked about makes sense about why you would be careful about giving up too much for Clowney, but I think the Jets are in an interesting position here because they have pieces in place to make you think they can make a run at a playoff spot this year. So how serious are you about that, really? Because when you sign Le'Veon Bell and you sign Jameson Crowder and you go get Ryan Khalil out of retirement and you make those type of moves, that tells me you're trying to win 10 or 11 games this year. But guess what? You have a major problem at secondary. We talked about it on Monday. Tremaine Johnson got hurt. Kyron Brown also suffered a hamstring injury. Both those guys are out and definitely could miss regular season time. Updated cornerback depth chart. Darrell Roberts, Brian Poole, and Arthur Millett.
Hmm. Good player.
So what are you going to do? It's going to be hard to upgrade the cornerback. Go. You need your defensive line to get after the quarterback and bail out your secondary, essentially. So get Clowney. Plug that hole since Sean Abraham. How are you going to do it? Let's keep it simple, guys. And this isn't easy because I really do like this player, but he's in a contract year. Straight up, Jadeveon Clowney for Leonard Williams.
Whoa.
Going back to Houston, the Jets seem to be on the fence about whether Williams is a fit long term, but he's obviously a very talented young player. Houston's defensive line gets a boost. They get Clowney out of the building if they don't believe in him. The money is very close. Williams makes $14.2 million in the final year of his rookie deal. Clowney is due $16 million this year. I think it helps both teams. It clears up a little bit of a logjam for the Jets after their move in the with their first pick in this draft. And it gives you Clowney, a fearsome guy that can rush the passer and stop the run. And, yes, it takes discipline, Greg, to figure out how to play this out if Clowney is successful this season, if this trade went down. But I actually think they have a GM in Joe Douglas that just might be able to handle the situation. And a Joe Douglas looking to make his first big splash, because I don't count Ryan Khalil as that. Hmm. How about that? Clowney for Big Cat.
I'm just not interested if I'm the Jets of giving up one of my better players. Just, like, why? I'd rather give up a second round pick than give up Leonard Williams. You have Leonard Williams for the season. You want to see what he looks like in Greg Williams' offense. You could use the franchise tag on him next year. I think there's an argument to be made that, especially if you do use the compensatory pick formula, that's like everyone goes crazy about second round picks this time of year. You know, sometimes second round picks are like Duke Dawson, the Patriots cornerback who's not even going to make the team in his second season. Like, I know Jadeveon Clowney's good. I know Leonard Williams is good. I don't want to give up one of them. When you don't have many good players, I don't want to give up one.
You think that makes them a better team? I think it does make them a better team.
But, like, how much of a better team?
You're saying for positional versatility that Clowney can play outside linebacker, where Williams is more of an inside guy.
Yeah, sure. I think Clowney's a little better at what he does, and he's definitely at a position they could use more. But I think Leonard Williams is one of the, whatever, six best players on the Jets, so I don't want to give him.
Yeah, I think you have to go into this.
I think the Texans would do that.
You have to go into this with telling everyone it is very possible that no matter how good we think our front office is and how good our GM is, there is an agent and there is a player who wants to maximize their earnings after this, and it's possible the Jets and Clowney have one season together. So if I'm going to do that, and I hear where you're going with it, like, you've got to make some cuts because of your cap situation too, but I think it's a go-for-broke move on defense, and I wouldn't give up Leonard Williams. I'd give up almost anything else. I don't care about the pick as much. I'm with Greg on that.
It would be tasty, though. I love that.
The need is there and the fit is there, but I don't know if you can make it work.
Because just thinking about – I would give up somebody else if I could, because having Clowney, Quinnen Williams, and Leonard Williams on a line, now that's good. Now that really significantly helps the team.
Yep. All right. Connie, you go next.
Okay. Jeez. All right.
Spent all morning on this.
You didn't expect it to go
to
the second.
No, I didn't. Okay.
I'm trying to help your stress level. Just get out of the way instead of it building up to you, and then you just
me so well. Yeah. Like, no matter what the assignment is, I stress out about it. So I talked myself in and out of multiple trades with multiple teams, but then I was thinking about the Seahawks and Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
And I was thinking that their major weakness right now is pass rush. Yes. So they have to fill that spot left by Frank Clark. They have Ziggy Ansah there, but you don't know exactly what you're going to get from Ziggy Ansah. Can he give you a throwback performance? Is he going to be all the way healthy?
2 to 15 games he'll be playing.
Okay, great. Yeah. they have the cap space. They have about $20 million in cap. And then this year, next year, they're really good too. So here – and also you have Jerron Reed, who's facing –
good setup so far, by the
suspension.
Way.
Preamble. This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If you go second round pick, because it is basically a 1 year deal for Clowney, especially if he gets hurt, you don't know, you can't really control a whole lot. So second round pick, and then what if, you know, you throw in maybe some like unlimited trips to the top of the Space Needle or something like that.
All right. Remember, realistic.
That will clinch the deal.
Should they bring back Dwayne Brown?
Dwayne Brown.
If they want, because
how old is he now?
And he's 30.
34.
Okay, so if you can't get Trent Williams, who, Wes, as you mentioned earlier, is a 30-something who has dealt with some injuries, why don't you get somebody back on your team that you shipped off to the Seattle Seahawks in the first place?
God, they'd be desperate to get rid of Clowney, I feel like, if that happens.
All right, what about their new pick, Ethan Posick? I mean, he's a guard, but you could throw in him and maybe one of the younger. Oh, no.
They got Ethan. The Texans have Ethan Posick coming out of their ears.
I'm working through this right now.
It's a fun one. I just don't know why the Seahawks would have any interest in giving up, you know, a left tackle that they just gave a big contract.
I don't think that the Texans are going to be interested in just draft
keep fighting,
picks.
Connie.
They need players. Their window right now, they're set up to win right now. So if you're just going to get rid of Jadeveon Clowney, you need somebody to help protect Deshaun Watson on that line, especially last year after seeing 62 sacks. Come on. And Ryan Khalil didn't look great in his first preseason game. You don't know what you're going to get from him. That's the most important position on the line.
I think Seahawks absolutely makes a lot of sense, too. They have an extra pick because of the Frank Clark trade.
Oh.
A second-round pick. Just send a pick. There's no way they would rather have Dwayne Brown than Jadeveon Clowney, especially because you got him for a couple years.
Right.
And, you know, you got to protect Russell Wilson. This is the first year in 17 years that we haven't been talking about the Seahawks offensive line because now it's good. So, but I could see them. They've been very aggressive. Just sending picks. Remember, they sent a pick for Percy Harvin when he didn't have much left. Then they ended up re-signing him and everything. They've made a lot of aggressive moves. They're about as likely, I think, as any team in the league to do something where they're just like, fine, we'll give you a second, and we'll hope that we can convince Clowney to sign here, and maybe we'll just give him a ton of money.
I could picture Clowney thriving.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Feels like you could see that Jadeveon Clowney breakout season that we've been waiting for, where he has, you know, 17 and a half sacks and is in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. Could totally see that happen.
Dwayne Brown has burned that bridge.
I agree.
And if Clowney is the one that has to agree to all this, you know, per some of these parameters, Seattle makes a lot more sense than some of these other teams.
All right, Wes.
Well, we're sticking with Clowney. I want to send him home. Mm. He's from the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to send him to a place where they could have reasonable belief that they might have an edge in signing him because he'd be home. The Atlanta Falcons, and they have salary cap issues, so we got to make this work. Vic Beasley, who Greg said, you know, a week or two ago, Falcons' biggest problem on defense is these guys they've drafted to be difference-making pass rushers haven't gotten it done. Well, the Texans are going to need a pass rusher. We're sending Vic Beasley and his $13 million back to Houston for the last year of his contract with a third-round pick, and we're getting Clowney in return.
Wow.
Vic Beasley and a third for Jadeveon Clowney.
And now you've got the Falcons, who think they're a Super Bowl contender, with Jadeveon Clowney, who, if I'm a Super Bowl contender, the thing I love most about Clowney, in addition to his versatility, he shows up in big games. He's terrorized the Patriots. He dominated the Raiders in the playoffs. He's had one of his best games ever against the Eagles.
His PFF numbers are wild. If you look at him every year, he's dominated in November, December in the playoffs.
Yes.
Like, he's been a fairly average player in the first half of the last three seasons, almost like he's getting up to speed, and then he just kills people. Which is, that's, I mean, if you're going to pick the time of year to do it, that's it.
The Falcons would definitely be the winners in that trade.
That's a loss. Yes. I wonder what Bill O'Brien, like.
But again, it's 1 year, though. That's
right. That's
right,
the thing.
This is a thing that I find, like, a little bit out there for most, the way that most front offices would think. Is it is a go-for-broke one-year move with zero guarantee that
I wonder if a third-round pick alone is enough to get Jadeveon Clowney.
Maybe we do.
I think the Texans should be happy to get a third-round pick right now with the way they've
organized this. Oh, I think they – no, I don't think they would trade him for a third. Because you're getting a third
compensatory
anyway.
But if they think they're
going to
get a whole bunch of other stuff, that's why I'm saying that sitting on him is probably what –
The trade is going to go down in 2 hours and all of this.
Right. Total malarkey.
Oh, no, I didn't think of that. Quick, Mark, your turn. Good trade, Wes.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Here is what could turn me into a fan of a team that has sort of driven me nuts historically over the past couple of years, and that is the Green Bay Packers.
Mm.
And the Green Bay Packers have a new coach. They have a new running scheme that does not fit Jamal Williams. It does fit Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones has not been the most consistent, reliable running back on the face of the earth, and it wouldn't be the worst thing on the planet to have two, or to have someone even better than Aaron Jones brought into Green Bay to flip the switch on an offense that has not had a dominant running game really at all under Aaron Rodgers, and it's I send Melvin Gordon to the Packers for a 2020 second-round pick. And you know what? Chargers, you can have Equanimeous St. Brown in return.
Oh, no, he did it! Oh! He went St. Brown!
Equanimeous!
ESP!
I think a second-round pick, you're getting it. You could get him for a second-round pick. Chargers are done with this guy. Chargers are done with him. They already have had Philip Rivers saying, we're good with who we have, and we got to be settled with who we have. They do have good running backs. It's a loss to not have Melvin Gordon, but he's put you in this situation where it's – what are you going to do? You're going to.
He doesn't even finish saying his first name before Telesco just because, oh, Aquinius, this deal's done.
Yeah.
We're good.
He's the little tackle. He's the cherry on top. A second-round pick, I think, gets it done.
Aquinius?
You're not. Are you trading a first-round pick for Gordon?
I think a second's too rich.
Really?
Well, yeah. That's that. If anything, I'm throwing the Chargers a bone, but
in
I don't
today's
think
today's NFL?
Third-rounder? You just traded Duke Johnson for a third-rounder.
It's tricky because you got to pay him. You assume you have to pay him top five running back money.
That's how they're in this mess in the first place.
And I went through that too, thinking about what Melvin Gordon could get, who would want him. And you're right. I don't think a ton of teams are going to give up a ton because you got to give up the contract. But I did think of one team that would be desperate enough potentially. Ooh. And it's a team you call up, and Tom Telesco, the Chargers. One day he calls up Jay Gruden, starts talking to him. You know, about Melvin Gordon. A couple hours later, talk to Bruce Allen. Don't even tell Jay Gruden that you talked. Don't even tell Bruce Allen that you talked to Jay Gruden. Then maybe call Dan Snyder, you know, call the ownership. Talk about Melvin. Just have them start playing against each other. The whole Redskins.
Knives are out.
Power dynamic. Those are the types of desperate.
Wait. Are you just trying to be a Stinky Davis with this?
I mean, I think it's absolutely accurate.
Somehow play all the Redskins front office maneuvering against each other. This is where crazy trades happen.
That's what a Stinky Davis is.
Yeah,
right, trying to sit on the Iron Throne.
Basically. And you get Trent Williams back because Trent Williams does not want to play for the Redskins. It's just not going to happen. This is the one guy I believe that he is making a stand, and he's just not playing for this organization ever again. And I think Gruden and the people there should be realizing they're all in the hot seat. They're all needing to win this year. Who's going to help you more this year? You're not going to have Williams, Melvin Gordon, or Trent Williams. And I know they have some running backs there, but you can't trust Darius Geis, who's still not practicing fully. I don't care about Adrian Peterson. Melvin Gordon in there. Give him some money.
Hold on.
Seems like something the Redskins
would
do. How
are you just glossing over the fact that they have Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis, and they don't need Melvin Gordon?
They don't care about Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I don't care about Adrian
Peterson. What does that mean?
No.
He's a backup that you could cut if you want.
He's coming off a 1,000-yard season.
I don't care. The Redskins need players that they can build around, and they seem like a team that actually, even though I'm not super into giving up a lot for Melvin Gordon and paying a lot of money, they just seem like a team that would. Because Melvin Gordon's young and he's good and he can handle all three downs. You don't have anyone like that anymore.
But you're going to pay him like a, let's say, top three running back when you invested a second-round pick in Geis?
I mean, Adrian Peterson is making less money.
I'm with you on that.
Geis is not someone – they got to see what they have in Geis.
Yeah, Geis is a mid-second-round pick who hasn't practiced fully as a pro yet.
You've said on this podcast he's a three-down back.
Who? Geis.
Geis.
I haven't –
been healthy.
He still hasn't been able to play like a full contact practice and stuff. So –
Let's count him out.
So in 2 weeks he can practice again, and then you've just traded for
Melvin
Gordon.
It's okay to have multiple good players.
That's one.
But that's not something
that they
you
don't really need help with.
I disagree. I mean, that's
they
one
just
of the
drafted
worst
Bryce Love too. I mean, why are we?
I think you get the owner on the phone, like Greg's saying, he's thinking, who can I put on the tickets? Who can I put on the program?
Also, and doesn't it seem like something the Redskins would do?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a good trade for them to do it.
You want to do a quick speed round, real quick around one more, if anybody's got one.
That's all I got.
Okay, I got a quick one.
I think Clowney to the Titans would make some sense, too. They desperately need a pass rusher.
Or to the Eagles.
Would they trade him in their own division?
It's a fair question.
I got a quick one. Ryan Fitzpatrick on the move again. We just talked about Philly and Jacksonville, two teams that really need help at backup quarterback.
What will the compensation be?
When Fitz signed with the Dolphins, the depth chart it was Jake Ruddock and Luke Falk, all right? But then they made that nice Josh Rosen trade. What do you need the veteran gunslinger around for? Fitz doesn't make any sense. He can only really mess things up with the Fitz magic. This is a team that should be taking a long look at an intriguing prospect like Rosen. So take Fitz and send him to one of these contenders that really need some a security blanket behind their starters. I think it makes sense.
Hmm.
Oh, and you want a compensation? Sixth round pick.
Oh, that works.
Fifth rounder, maybe.
I got one just for gits and shiggles.
Okay.
Just because I want to see... So when Clowney got drafted number one, the debate was whether you should take Khalil Mack or Jadeveon Clowney. Let's reunite both of them on the Bears, send Leonard Floyd in a third-round pick to the Texans, and now we're cooking with fire.
I like it.
Ooh.
I have one to offer
That's
you.
That's really good. That's
that
good.
Probably will not follow your rules, but when I came up with it, it fills two teams' needs and desires to the nth degree. And that's why I want you to listen to me before
I'm listening.
Just shoo it off and we close the show. What is it that the Texans miss right now? They miss front office leadership and guidance.
I like this.
Yes.
They are a ship afloat in the middle of nowhere.
They have a pastor in there. Of course they have guidance.
We'll see how that's working. What is it they wanted and they couldn't get? What is it that the team they tried to get it from could very much use? The Patriots could use Jadeveon Clowney.
Ooh.
The Patriots are a Super Bowl window, one-year Super Bowl window team that could say, after this, we blow the whole thing up. And the Texans... The Texans have no way to hang on to Clowney. That's the way I see it after this year. It's gotten acrimonious. He's out. The Patriots have no way to hang on to Nick Caserio. He's there for 1 year. He's essentially been held hostage, and he's out. He's going to go to Houston. Clowney's going to go somewhere else. The Patriots might as well say, at least we get something in theory in return. We give you Nick Caserio. You give us Jadeveon Clowney. We good. I know you're going to laugh at it, but it makes sense.
Like
it is two teams that get what they absolutely need especially for the Texans. You have no idea that you're going to get Caserio after this season. We don't know.
Why do we think that Nick Caserio is this genius?
We don't have to.
Right,
the whole organization
wants
him.
How much better is Nick Caserio than Bill O'Brien? We have no idea.
You could look at everything in the world that way, but the Texans we already know have deep interest in Nick Caserio and got into a tampering snafu because of it, and they're going to go after him again. There's
I like
people
that. Maybe
that
we'll
like Caserio.
Throw in like Dietrich Wise and Caserio for Clowney. I like that. I like that.
Danny Etlin's still there.
They just waved.
Yeah. Falcons just
him
went
up.
To Atlanta.
Bring him back. Throw Etlin in there too.
Etlin went to Atlanta.
I mean Caserio. I like that. I like that.
That's good. I like that.
Okay, I agree. I like it too.
Dan does not.
Oh no!
I just think the Caserio stuff is a little bit overblown.
Well, that's
and
fine. You're not operating
this
inside
room
an
is
NFL
also,
front office.
This
so.
Room is also a little bit on fire about the Bill O'Brien knows nothing. The train has left the station.
I don't.
And
think
I don't
that.
Know what where this is coming.
He's
from.
The one. Hold Bill on. O'Brien's the one that wants Caserio more than anyone. Right. He's frustrated.
And they got into the Clowney thing not because of Bill O'Brien. I think that's actually not how we
I'm
feel
just saying.
At all,
there's this assumption that the Texans are a house on fire.
They are a house on fire
because they fired Brian Gainden. Didn't I mean? Come on.
Well, they.
How about the way they
GMs.
Handled Jadeveon Clowney? They're getting pennies on the dollar for him now because they didn't do things in a timely manner.
Completely botched.
How do you know that?
Because the only way to get real value for him is
they're trading.
Do it before
no,
the July 15th deadline.
Well, at least three insiders have said he's on the trade block. Mike Garafolo, Mike Lombardi, and O'Brien, or not John McClain. But if you trade him or shop him before July 15th, you can get real value back for him. But once he can't sign anymore, what are you trying to get?
The only other thing I'll say is that the situation got complicated by an obvious rift between the coach and GM. The GM got fired. That probably did not – I know there was still a window where they could have gotten a deal done, but that was a bit of a – the organization was in a transition there. And then the Patriots shat all over their ability to kind of move on in a, I guess what you could say, functional manner. I'm not ready to say the Texans are completely on fire right now because of the way this
– That's fine, but that's the second GM that Bill O'Brien's had major issues with. Again, I think Bill O'Brien is a good coach, and maybe he'll be fine – running the show upstairs for the season too, but he already has been inside the Patriots organization for years and knows what Bill Belichick and other people much smarter than running most teams think of Nick Caserio. So it's like I think there's a lot of
closest friends. Yeah,
there's a lot of historical knowledge around it too. It's not random.
Trying to hire him, give him a nice contract, and giving him a nice big contract, and also giving up one of your best players. It just seems like a lot of compensation. If we're talking seriously about
a player who probably won't play for the Texans this year at all at this point, and certainly won't play after this year.
I think he's playing this year. Where? We're not hearing
I'm just
anything.
Saying,
yeah, he's playing this year.
If you're hearing that they're looking to trade him, something is not going well.
They have to find a partner for him to play.
And he's not playing for more than 1 year. So, like, the idea that they knew that months ago, you would move him.
If he moves Clowney for a fifth-round pick or something, I will not be defending O'Brien. I guess I just want to see how this all plays out.
I would just say –
What's the lowest pick that you'd be happy with for him?
I think you need to get at least a third-rounder back, at least. Yeah. But probably a second for a player of Clowney's ability. And I know they've boxed themselves in, but – You know, a second rounder, I think you could live with.
This is a roster that can crumble in a hurry. There is not much to look forward to beyond 2019. And I think you're talking about, you said, what else has Bill O'Brien done? Well, they have guards coming out of their ears and nobody who can play tackle. They just keep drafting guards, tweener tackles over and over again, and then moving them inside the guard. This roster is in bad shape going forward.
All right. They'll be a fun team to track this year, won't they?
They will.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Lady and gentlemen. Well, ladies. Erica's there, too. Yeah. Hey, what's your thoughts
on
this? Ricky?
I don't know. You guys were screaming a lot. Got me kind of worked up back here.
Okay. That's not a good sign. All right. we'll be back on Friday. Now, again, I am on call for jury duty. And so far, the city of Los Angeles has said, Zeuser, not needed. You don't need to handle any crime situations right now. We don't need.
I can't believe they haven't pulled you into the actual downtown place. I've never heard of anything like this.
Oh, you're
in my
downtown?
Life.
Yeah.
Or Santa Monica. You're
downtown. Downtown. Big house where OJ went down. So 3 days in, I have to call in two more times, and I might just get away with this, but I also might get called in for Friday. But just know that we have a special guest coming on Friday, and also if I'm here, I should say there will be the hot butt power rankings.
Uh-oh.
Will be dropped. Ranking all the head coaches from the safest, and you can imagine who is at the top of that list, to the one that you hear right now. I think if you listen to the voice, you can even tell, maybe.
Where did you find this drop? Or did you record this drop?
This is real.
This is scary.
All right, so that's what's coming up on Friday, maybe. All right, let's get at it. Hey, Colleen. Thanks.
Hey.
You came, you did it.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, man.
Oh, you're talking like that.
That was weird.
You did a great job. You've said it all, and it's great to have you back.
I'm finally doing this thing.
I'm going to kill Ricky.
All right. Stan Heads is signing off. Our Quiet Storm, the Mailman, the Tiny Box, the Old Boss, and Rick. Till Friday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.